We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere.
Good morning. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm your host this morning, Tina Dobbs. My daughter Josie is running the iPad this morning for us. Our sister Monica is having a staycation and getting things done around the house. And our guest this morning is Sister Mary Fullerton. How are you doing this morning, Miss Mary?
I'm doing.
There you go.
We were just talking a while ago about being instant in season and out of season. Sometimes unexpected things happen. Sometimes unexpected things happen and we have to go a different direction than what we originally planned.
Yep, but the Holy Spirit leads and guides us.
Yeah.
It's always a surprise around this place. If you have a prayer request or a praise report, you can send them to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837, or you can comment on the Facebook post, and we'll do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and I'm having a little bit of technical difficulties, but I will get all of those from this week loaded as quickly as possible. If you'd like a entry onto our book blessing wheel for the month of August, all you got to do is like, share, and comment done on the Facebook post. We haven't picked a new one for August. We'll probably pick one next week, but you can go ahead and get entered. Our sponsor for today is Spain's Construction and Remodeling out of Weatherford. If you'd like quality work for a company with Christian values, give Rick Spain a call. I think I covered it all.
Okay.
I like your title. Partial obedience is disobedience.
Yes. And anyway, this was kind of going to be a second part to what I was really going to do. I was going to talk about the will of God and how I may go ahead and just say a few things about that. That there's a scripture in Galatians 4:1, I believe, that says it was the will of God to bruise Jesus. And there's another scripture that says that Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world. And so he knew what he came to do. And at one other time, he said, I think it was in Matthew 10, he said, I can do nothing on my own, but I do what the Father wants me to do. And, you know, as Christians, that should be our goal, is to do the will of God. But a lot of times it goes against what our flesh would do, or sometimes we start out to do the will of God, and all of a sudden, different things get thrown in our path that we were not expecting, and it's like, this is where I'm going to start out today, because I had written this out, and, you know, sometimes in the middle of the night I start thinking and I start writing a letter. It's like sometimes I imagine that I'm writing a certain person, and other times I'm just there and I write to whom this may concerns may concern. And so anyway, I was writing this person and I said, I am an adult who has been around the block a time or two. I have learned not to have any expectations where man is concerned. Too many factors can change at the drop of a hat in just a few minutes that completely changes the landscape. You never count on anything until it happens. So I knew not to count on anything. I pretty well grasp the scope of things. I make tentative plans, but I usually sense when things are going south. I've lived long enough to where I've been disappointed before, so one learns to roll with the punches. Life is too short to get hung up on the small stuff. Crying will change nothing, except it will make people not even want to have you around. No one likes negativity. Besides, I've learned disappointment never kills anyone. It does us good to learn how to handle disappointment and still keep one's cool. We have to get to the place where none of these things change or move me. God is still in control and He wins. It's how we learn to overcome, and it helps us to learn the right viewpoint of ourselves so that we don't get too big for our britches. You know, we are not to think more highly of ourselves than we really are. In fact, we are supposed to view other people as being, to esteem them better than we are, and to prefer them, and not always expect to be the one in the limelight or to have everybody take our advice. And I often, and there is something I'm going to talk about this morning that happened to me here recently. And I thought when this happened, who does she think I am? You know, and as far as my viewpoint of myself, I don't think that I'm just a person, but I'm amazed at what has happened in the last little while, because I never did. I'm always saying, Lord, if I've done anything that is unpleasing to you, tell me and show me what it is, because I don't want anything in my life that is unpleasing to you, and take it out now, because I don't want to miss it when I stand before you. I mean, I don't want to face it when I stand before you. I want it to be cleared out of my account now. You know, I want to take care of things now. And so I'm always repenting all through the day, because I'll stop and I think, have I, you know, because sometimes we can think things. God says, your thoughts are not our thought, my thoughts and your ways are not on my ways. And sometimes we can just begin to think things, and then we find that we're really not having the mind of Christ, you know, and we have to stop and review what we have thought and see if we have done anything that would be displeasing to the Lord. And I like to keep a short record. So So I stop sometimes several times through the day and I'll pray that prayer, Lord, if I've done anything in the last little while, I need a fresh covering of the blood of Jesus. And please forgive me and show me those things, Lord, so that I don't keep doing them. Because the coming of the Lord is so close. We need to stay prepared all the time and not. And the enemy is so tricky. He will blind our eyes to things. And so, now I'm going to go into this situation that happened to me. There was something that we went to church one day, and there was a new lady there. Well, she had been coming just a little bit, but I had not gotten acquainted with her or anything, and she said some things to a certain person right in front of me. She didn't try to keep it secret or anything. And so, and she declared what she felt like God's will for her life was. And anyway, so I didn't think anything about it. But, and then after a Sunday or two, I noticed that at different times, she would go up to somebody and tell them some things. And so, anyway, but one Sunday, we were ready to start service, and the person in charge said, he encouraged us to, he said, y'all are just kind of, I'm just going to, he didn't use these words, but he said, you're just kind of lethargic this morning. You know, in other words, you're not really, he had encouraged people to start praising the Lord. And we were, but we didn't do it to the extent that he really wanted us to. And so he said, I think I'm going to have y'all go outside and come in again and see if we can start over and do better. Well, what goes through my mind is, well, you know, that might work, but there's a scripture in the Bible that says that we're supposed to praise the Lord in spirit and in truth. And I think, well, my spirit and in truth may not be the same as your spirit and in truth. I mean, your idea, because we all have our different personalities. Mm-hmm. And you might be an expressive person that is really loud and really wants a lot of exuberance. And I might be this little quiet person over here that I praise God, but I'm really quiet about it, you know. And if you expect me to fit your mold, you know, I mean, it's, you know, I mean, so what does that mean to worship God in spirit and in truth? Because God knows each one of us, and he makes us all ourselves. But if we want to please man and we do something just because somebody else wants us to, just to please man so that we won't get scolded anymore or whatever, you know, is that really praising God in spirit and in truth? I mean, you know. And so I was thinking about this. Well, but I'm not one that says, well, I'm not going to do that, you know. And I'm a cooperative person. And so I was sitting there and I muttered to myself and I said, well, I don't agree with you, but I'll go ahead and do it. And so we went out and we came back in and we did better, you know. And anyway, but it always made that question come to my mind. How does God regard that? I mean, it's true that we ought to praise him. He deserves having praise up to the highest level. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we're just not there. And but, you know, we went ahead and did that. So then I don't know if I had said this or not, but on different occasions I'd seen this lady talking to different people. And so one day, right before service, I asked her, I said, and I hadn't talked to her about anything between that time that we went out and came back in, you know, and I'd muttered this to myself. Well, she heard me say, but she didn't really hear what I said. She said, what did you say? And I said, I don't agree with you, but I'll do it. Well, so this day I came in and I thought, I'm just going to ask her something. So I said, has the Lord ever said anything to you about me? I just wanted to see what she'd say, you know. And she said, no. And then she said, yeah. I said, what did he say? And she said, you're stubborn and rebellious. And I thought, no, I'm not. You know, I just thought that that was her opinion. And I thought that she got that opinion from the comment that I had made about, I don't agree with you, but I'll do it, you know, this before. Because that's all the interaction that I'd had with her. And she hadn't been there long enough to know anything about me or anybody else, hardly. So, and another thing, there is a scripture in John the 21st chapter. John the 21st chapter, starting, and that's the last chapter in John. And starting with the 15th verse, this is when, now I might just kind of summarize this here, but I'll read part of it. This was when Jesus and Peter were talking. And Jesus was asking Peter, Simon, do you love me? And if you'll remember, he asked him that three times. And Peter all the time would say, yes, Lord, I love you. And Jesus would say, feed my sheep. Okay. So then, in a little while, when we come to the 20th verse, well, you know, every time Peter said, I do love you, Jesus would say, you follow me. Mm-hmm. And then in the 20th verse, it says, Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? And Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? And Jesus said unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? You follow me. You know. In other words, he did not tell him, well, you know, John's going to, I believe this guy was John, said the disciple whom Jesus yes. loved. And we just think that it was John because it was in the book of John. And it didn't, Jesus didn't say to Peter, well, I'm going to have him go do this, but you're going to do this, you know. He did not talk to Peter about what somebody else was going to do, you know. And so he said, if what I will that I tarry till I come, what is that? What business is that of yours? In other words, you know, I mean, to put it in our vernacular, follow thou me. And so, so when this person said that to me about me being stubborn and rebellious, I thought, well, why would God show her? Why would God tell her that I was stubborn and rebellious when he hasn't said anything to me about it? Because I had been praying just like I had been mentioning that I'd been telling you, Lord, if there's anything in my heart, show me. And I believe that God would have showed me if I'd have been stubborn and rebellious. But he didn't. So the only thing I had to go on was that she had heard me say, well, I don't agree with you, but I'll do it. And she got that into her idea. And so when I asked her, that's what she came up with. So I did not really take that as being from the Lord. Well, so then the second thing that happened, and like I said, I kept an open mind. This person was hard to get to know and everything. And I was saying, Lord, you know everything about her. You know everything about me. You know everything about the situations. I put it in your hands. You handle it. And help me to walk in love and don't let me do anything I shouldn't do. So one day I was up at the church, and I don't know. I go up there sometimes to clean, and I don't know if I was up there cleaning or if I was just up there. Maybe I got up there to pray or something. Or maybe I had just come early for service or whatever. But she came in. And like I said, I hadn't really talked to her or anything very much. Because she didn't live in Elk City. She lived in Weatherford. And yet, but she would drive to Elk City for service. Yeah, and so, I mean, she wasn't around to visit with, you know. And so, anyway, so she came in, and we greeted each other, you know, and all of that. And all of a sudden she said to me, Mary, and this shocked me because, you know, I'm just me, and I'm not trying to impress anybody. Mm-hmm. I just try to live my life to please God, and I don't think of myself more highly than I ought to think. I feel like I'm a nobody, and nobody hardly knows that I am around. I sometimes think to myself, if I died tomorrow, nobody'd even miss me. You know, that's really what sometimes what I think, because I don't do anything to call attention to myself or that anybody would think anything about me. So I was shocked out of my gourd when she said this. She said, Mary, concerning your diligence and your dedication, she said, I bet you I could give you a run for your money. And I'm going, what? I mean, first of all, we're not supposed to compete with one another. We're supposed to think more highly of other people than ourselves. And we're supposed to cooperate and build the kingdom of God, not compete with one another. And I was just shocked out of my gourd. I thought, why would anybody want to outpass me? You know, I just live my quiet life, pay attention. I mean, you know, I don't try to brag on anything. Oh, every once in a while, if somebody asks me what I did, I'll tell them something that I did. But I don't go around bragging on myself an awful lot. There's some times that I tell people in leadership some things that I'm doing because they get up and they preach different things. And I get to thinking, they don't think that anybody is paying any attention to anything that they're saying. And I want them to know that there's at least one person that's out there trying to do some of the things that they say, just to give them encouragement. Mm-hmm. So I go up and I tell them a few of the things that I'm doing. And in fact, here a while back, I had done that. And then right after that, this person gets up and he just said, I can count on one hand the people who have come to me and offered to help me in any way. And so I thought, well, I never offered to help him, but I'm going to let him know I'm busy. And I had gone to him and I had told him some things that I was doing. But I thought, I'm going to go to him and I'm going to offer to help him if he has needs of help. So I went up to him and I did that very thing. And I offered to help him. And he looked at me and he said, I said, I'm busy, brother, but if you need somebody to help you do something, I'll be glad to help you. Because I'd also heard, this is something that I'd heard people say, if you want to get something done, go find the busiest person you can find and ask them to do it for you, and they'll get it done. But if you go find somebody that's not doing anything and then expect them to do it, they won't ever get it done, because the busiest person knows how to discipline themselves. They know how to utilize their time, and they are used to getting things done. But somebody that doesn't do that does not know how to manage their time right, you know, and they won't get anything done. So I went to him and I said, I'll help you if you have something to do. And he said, well, you're about one of the onlyest ones that's doing anything around here. And he said, there'll be somebody else. You know, he wanted somebody else to come forward and help him. So I said, okay. You know, but at least I offered, you know. But and I don't know if anybody else ever came forward or not. There was another person that I talked to. She said, well, I've offered to help him sometimes, but he won't never let me do anything either. So, you know, you just have to leave that. So, okay, Lord, what did he mean? You know, there's two of us that's offered to help him, and he wouldn't let either one of us help him. So, yeah, and so anyway, so when this lady said that about me competing, I thought, oh my goodness. And I just decided that I didn't. Anyway, right after she had told me that I was stubborn and rebellious, 2 weeks after that, she comes up out of the blue, just out of the blue. I didn't ask her, didn't say anything about it. And she walks up to me and she says, Mary, God's going to reward you for your faithfulness. And I'm going, boy, isn't that a switch? 2 weeks ago, she tells me that I'm stubborn and rebellious, and now she tells me God's going to reward me for my faithfulness. Now, that's in two opposite directions, because the Bible says if you're stubborn and rebellious, that's as a sin of witchcraft. And God does not reward you for witchcraft. So, I mean, you have to know your word. And then when she told me that she could give me a run for my money, I'm going, I'm just not, I didn't say a word. Mm-hmm. I said, Lord, I don't know what to say to that. And I'm not going to even answer her. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I didn't.
Sometimes no response is the best response.
Yeah. And so, you know, I mean, I just couldn't figure it out. So then, the next rattle out of the box, one day I had a certain person call me, or maybe I had called them and hadn't got them, and they were answering my call. But anyway, we were talking on the phone. And this person tells me, he said, I'm thinking of giving you a position. He said, so be on your best. So when I got off the phone with him, I thought, Lord, I don't think I'm ready for this. I don't know if I want what he's talking about, because I don't know if I can. This person changes their mind all the time, and a lot of times I think I understand what he wants, but I find out I don't understand mm-hmm. what he wants. And so I didn't know if I wanted that position or not, because I thought, I don't know if I can please him. You know, and Lord, I don't know if I want that, but Lord, I don't want to turn it down either. If you're wanting me to do this, it would be a challenge to find out, you know, if I could really do it or not. And so I'm just going to leave it in your hands, and if you want it to happen, fine. And if you don't, you know, it's fine with me, because I don't know what to say. Mm-hmm. Well, so then I go to church again on a Sunday morning. And they had asked us to pray for the whole month of March. And at the month after March was over, some of the people were asking me, what are we going to do? Are we going to continue praying, or are we going to have Sunday school? I said, I'll ask him. So I asked him, and he said, continue to pray. So the next Sunday I go to Sunday school, and this lady that I have been talking to you about was there. And I told her, I said, well, I said, he told us to keep on praying. And so I just closed my eyes and started praying. And I didn't hear anything, and I didn't sense anything. And I opened my eyes, and she wasn't even in the room. And so I thought, well, maybe she went to the bathroom. So I continued to pray, and I opened my eyes again, and she was coming out of the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why she went back there, but she was in the kitchen. And I kept praying, and as far as I know, she never did join me in praying.